Well, as we start this morning, we're going to have a little fun. How many of you would say that you are a Packers fan? All right, okay. How many of you would say you're a Packers fan? Two. All right, good to know. Well, I decided what we would do is we'd have a little bit of fun here, and I'm going to ask you some questions about the Packers to see if you are a fan or if you are a fan. Or maybe we'll even change it to a follower. We'll see how it goes. Okay, here's the first one. Let's see if you're good. Where are the Packers from? They're from Wisconsin. That's a good start. All right. Green Bay. Okay, good. What are the Packers' colors? Oh, good. I was kind of worried I might hear a green and yellow in there, but good, good. All right. You're doing well. So far, you're a fan. Tell me, who is the Packers' quarterback? You guys are going, this is too easy. All right. The name of the coach for the Packers. No, okay, I heard that one. It's getting a little quieter with each question. All right, here we go. Now we're going to start separating you out, maybe. When were the Green Bay Packers founded? I hear a lot of mumbling. Oh, so I stumped you. All right. Did anybody know? 1919. Is there a real fan in here that can even tell me the date? No. All right. I must be the only fan then. August 11th of 1919. So here, what was interesting, can you tell me who founded the Packers? Curly Lambeau. All right. That's good. Now here's, what was the name of the first company to sponsor the Green Bay Packers? Ooh. No. Indian Packing Company. Gave them $500 to start. So they were the first company to sponsor them. Okay, all right. This one you should be able to get. What Packer player was known as the Minister of Defense? All right. See, that was pretty good. What round in the draft was Bart Starr selected? 17. All right. All right. We've got a real fan over here. I'm coming over here. Last question. Who did Brett Favre complete his first NFL pass to? Oh, very good. Himself. He did. It was a batted ball into the air. He caught it and lost 7 yards. So, are you a fan or are you a follower? How would you describe that? You know, there's a difference between the two. You see, a fan is one who knows about the team. A follower is one that knows the team. You know, it's kind of one of those things. The follower goes much deeper than just watching TV, right? The follower knows the details, like August 11th of 1919. They know the little details, the ins and the outs of everything. I'm standing up here this morning wearing a jersey, and everybody loves this jersey, I'm finding, as I came in this morning. I was able to go see a game in Fenway Park one time. I enjoy the Red Sox. I lived out in Connecticut for a while, so I enjoy them. But I have to be honest with you, I'm just kind of a fan. The thing is I enjoy watching them play baseball. I enjoy when I get the opportunity. But if you were to ask me any question about them, I probably would have no idea how to answer those questions. Right now, I couldn't even tell. Well, it's kind of hard for any baseball team right now to do this. But I could probably not even be able to tell you who the starting players are on the team. I know I couldn't do that. But it's one of these things. There's a fan, somebody who enjoys the game. I enjoy it. And then there's the followers, the ones who know everything about it. Well, what about Jesus? This is the question we're going to ask this morning. Am I a fan or a follower of Jesus? And what does that look like? And as a matter of fact, I'm going to start with a very bold statement that may offend some of you. I hope it doesn't. And if it does, my prayer would be that then during this time that maybe you would ask God as to why it offended you. But I believe that the church is full of fans and not followers of Jesus today. Strong statement, isn't it? How can I make such a statement? What grounds do I have to say something like that? Well, this morning, let's look at what the Scripture has to say about what it looks like to be a fan of Jesus or a follower of Jesus. And we're actually going to start in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, this is one of the passages that we often go back to and speak on the early church. This is what the early church looked like. But understand that this was a simple gathering of followers of Jesus. What made them different than maybe what we see today? What made them followers and not just fans? So as you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you're not already there, we'll be in Acts 2, verse 42 to start. These are the words. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." You know, this is such an incredible passage, and I really enjoy it because it gives us a picture into the life of the early Christians, those who began the church, that Christ started this great movement of the church through, and what made them different than everybody else, what makes them different than maybe we see today as well in some of our churches. What is it that made them followers? Well, it's interesting that when you look at it, and we're going to kind of be going back and forth this morning as to what is a fan, what is a follower, but one of the things that we see is a follower is devoted. It's devoted. That's one of the words that you see in there. Right in the beginning, it says that they devoted themselves, and it says they devoted themselves to some very different things. They devoted themselves to the teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So these were the things. Now, I love that word devoted because it gives a very different connotation. Notice what they were doing. It was they were all in. They gave everything that they had to those things. They made those their priority in life. You know, it's interesting because as you think about a fan versus a follower, you can see some differences there. For example, a fan wears the jersey. They wear the jersey. They may look good, but a follower invests in the team. They know a whole lot more. A fan is there in the good times and the easy times. We may even call those fair weather fans. You've heard of those? Yeah. Follower is there all the time, even when the team is really bad. You know, there are some states that have teams right now that you have to be a real fan to follow their team, because they're just that bad. But a follower will be there no matter what. A fan likes to blame others for the bad times, for the losses, for the things that aren't going well, where a follower sees the process and trusts for the future. You see the difference there? A fan just wants to win. A follower wants to complete the mission of what it's about. The fan will sit, watch, and criticize, where a follower understands the heart of the leader and follows. You see, a good way to describe a fan or a follower is simply this. A fan is kind of in. As long as it's good, I'm in. A follower is all in. It doesn't matter. I will always be there. Now, it's interesting. You can see the correlation between a sports fan and a spiritual fan of Jesus as well, can't you? You look at this and you go, the fan of Jesus knows the name of Jesus and may have even accepted, and probably has accepted him as their Savior. A follower is invested in Jesus, his plan and his purpose. He wants to do what Jesus has asked. A fan will be in church on Sunday, but have no other time with Jesus throughout the week. In other words, he likes to watch the game on Sunday. But a follower walks with Jesus every day, be in his word, and grow. A fan of Jesus wants what Jesus can give him, where a follower of Jesus wants to live for Jesus every day. There's these differences. Romans 12:1 gives us a picture of what a follower looks like when Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to all. This is your true and proper worship. You know, it's interesting, as we said, a devoted follower in the beginning, they devoted themselves to these things. And here's the one thing that Paul even says, a devoted follower of Jesus gives up everything. What an incredible picture that says, because as followers of Christ, offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Have you ever considered what that means? To be a living sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? It is something that gave up its life completely. You never watched in the Old Testament times, you never watched a sacrifice get up and walk off the altar before, because it gave everything. You see, a fan of Jesus sees their spiritual walk as an option relegated to Sundays. A follower sees their spiritual walk in every moment of their life. A fan sees that they have rights. A follower sees that they are dead to self and alive to Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul is encouraging Timothy, the young pastor, and he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. There again, you see a definition of a follower, one who is approved by God. How are we approved by God? Well, he gives us the example right there. Able to correctly handle the word of truth. Now let me ask you this question. How can you correctly handle the word of truth? By being in the word of truth, right? It's one of those reality checks that we come to a place where we say, you know, if I'm all in for Jesus, I need to know the heart of Jesus. I need to be in on what Jesus says. A follower of Jesus Christ is devoted to knowing God on a much deeper level. I can only be a fan of God if I'm in His Word one time a week. To simply put it this way, fans like Jesus, followers need Jesus. They're devoted. The second thing that we can see in here is after they're devoted, a follower is connected. This is an important one. This is actually one of those parts that maybe oftentimes gets missed. We understand the idea that a fan must be devoted to Jesus, but there's an additional aspect on this. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. It says that they were all together and had everything in common. Being a follower of Jesus means being connected to the family of Jesus. We talked about family last week. Look at a few more of these comparisons. A fan, he knows some information about the team. A follower knows the players, goes to the games, meets, greets, does everything. We have some friends that love hockey. And about once a year, they'll come out and they'll actually go with us to a hockey game from down in Milwaukee. We'll go to an Admirals hockey game, and they usually come when it's the Iowa Wild coming to play, because that's their team. But what's interesting is to watch their involvement in hockey. They play hockey as a couple. They go to all of their games at home. They go to the meet and greets after the games. They'll even go to the open skate times that the hockey players will have. They will go to auctions. They will do everything that is connected with that team. They will desire to go and be a part of it. Why? Because they're a follower of the team. They know the players. They know where they're from. They even know where they live, some of them, like with the families that they live with and different things like that. And so it's this idea of going much deeper into it. A fan watches the game on TV and maybe goes every once in a while. A follower not only goes to the game, but they rub shoulders with the players, with the staff, and with other fans. A fan boos at the mistakes and complains about the team, and they want to run the refs off. A follower encourages even when the team is losing. A fan says it's all about me. A follower says it's all about the team. See, once again, you can see the correlation. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he says these words, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You know, it's interesting because you can even see this in every area of life. To know that a person is invested in something means that they're connected to something. They're a part of it. And this is what Jesus says. He goes, if you are a part of the followers of my family, then you will love my family. A bond occurs when there are those of like-mindedness, right? You know, not too many of you, I think, would probably come to my tailgate party if I said, come wear your Red Sox gear. Why? Because that doesn't connect. Now, if I was wearing a Brewers jersey and I said, hey, Brewers party at our place, everyone's welcome, would you come? Hopefully. But you see, there's something about the connection with the family. You know, it's interesting because I find this to be true as well. A fan is one that will watch it on TV, or sometimes they'll go to the game. We've had the opportunity to go to a few Brewers games, a few Admirals games, even went to a Bucks game. And one of the things that I know about us as fans, we show up for the game to start. And then what happens with about 2 minutes left in the game? Fans start to leave. Why? Because they don't want to get caught in traffic. But what's interesting is those who are followers, what they do is they're like, I want to be there early. I want to be there for the shoot around. I want to be there for BP. I want to be there for skate around, whatever it is that they're doing. They'll show up an hour early just to see what happens around in the beginning, and they will wait and be some of the last people to leave in the hopes that maybe they'll get that next glimpse or the signature or something. They want to stay together the whole experience. Some will even go all day and tailgate just to be connected with their brothers and sisters who love the same sport. A fan of Jesus will be in church on Sunday, but rarely with the family outside of that. See, this is an important truth for us to get. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, again, this is that verse that I often say gets used to beat people up for not going to church. I don't believe that this is actually about going to church. It's not about church attendance. As a matter of fact, if you read it, listen to what it says. He says these words, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together." So that's the one that most people concentrate on, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see what that passage is about? It's about connection. It's about being a part of the team. It's about being a part of the family. And this is what he says. He goes, if as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are connected in such a way that we don't want to be apart from one another. We want to know one another. We want to get so close with one another that we know the details of their life, their family, all of those things. You see, as a fan, I'm not with the family enough to spur them on to love and good deeds. But as a follower, I'm with the family and I encourage one another See, a fan gets entertained where a follower is involved. The follower is connected. The follower is devoted. The follower is connected. And then we see that a follower is active. A follower is active. Now, what does that mean? A follower is active in the sense that they get involved in what is happening. Acts 2:45 says that they sold their possessions to help those that were in need. That was one part. They gave when it was necessary. But you also see in verse 46, it says that they came together daily for these things. They were actively involved in the lives of one another. They were actively involved in the mission of Jesus. They were actively involved in what they could do as a church to meet the needs in their community. Followers become actively involved. So what does this look like? Well, a fan of Jesus has a bumper sticker of a fish on their car. Have you seen that one before? A follower is a fisher of men. A fan has a nice, crisp Bible. It smells good, too. A follower carries a tattered Bible. A fan goes to church. A follower of Jesus goes into the world. A fan seeks from God where a follower seeks for God. A fan watches the game. The follower gets into the game. I love the imagery in Hebrews 12:1 as we were up in Minnesota with family, as we were at the grave of Lynn's folks. We were talking and Hebrews 12:1 came up. Since we are therefore surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race, run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I love that. Just an incredible picture. You realize the stadium is not made for this time. The stadium is filled with those who have already completed the task. We're called to be followers. Because notice what he says. Let us throw off. Let us throw off the sin. Let us run the race. Let us. And this is the point that he's saying. He's going, be actively involved in the work of Jesus. There is so much to be done. As we prayed earlier, the church cannot stand silent. But look, it doesn't mean that we go picketing. What does it mean? It means that we go out there and make a difference in our community. We live as Jesus, touching and impacting lives that need to know of Jesus. And what we do is we make everyone equal in the eyes of Christ. We love them as Jesus loves. I love James. You've heard me say that that's probably my favorite book of the Bible, and simply for this reason, because he gets in the face and exposes any kind of spiritual laziness. And in James 2, verse 14, he puts it this way. He says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? James makes it clear that a follower of Jesus is active in their life for Jesus. It seems in our culture of today that even within the church, we are gradually moving away from what does it mean to be active in the mission of Jesus Christ and becoming more of the what it's comfortable to be a Christian. As a matter of fact, I was in a church listening to the pastor, and as the pastor preached, one of the things that he said is, there is nothing that you can do to make Jesus love you any more than he already does, so don't even try. And he said, this is the thing. You go out and you can live any way that you want and you can do whatever you want because God loves you. And if you have asked Jesus into your heart, you're good. And the whole thing was about this one place of, because God's grace is so great, because God's love is so great for you, you're in. And it was such a heart wrench. I sat there and my heart just shriveled up inside of me as I'm listening to this. Because as we see this, God is saying, I want you to be actively involved in my great commission, in my great commandment. You are to be out there. I sat at another time, and I was after a service. I had given a sermon, and I was talking about challenging our congregation on what we should be doing, living for Jesus. Just kind of gave like the 90-day challenge kind of thing. And I had an individual approach me after church one that time, and he says, you know what? I don't think you should ask us to do challenges. I said, why not? He said, because that's not what Jesus would want. I said, really? No. We do not have to do anything. And to ask us to do anything goes against Jesus' heart. I went, wow. I'm sorry, but I don't agree with you on that one. And then I had another conversation with an individual that came up to me and said, Pastor, I don't like that you're telling us that we need to confess our sin. Why not? Because Jesus has already forgiven it. All we need to do is just say thank you. We don't deal with sin anymore. That was all taken care of at the cross. Therefore, we can live any way we want. We just thank Jesus that he died for us on the cross. Friends, if I take that view of Jesus, I have missed a great portion of Scripture. If I stand on that, then I'm a nice fan of Jesus Christ. But if I am a follower of Jesus Christ, I am going to be actively involved in the kingdom work that Jesus began while he walked this earth. And I can tell you this, that if I am a follower of Jesus Christ, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is not a verse that I just memorize. It becomes my goal and my purpose in life, to go and make disciples of all nations. So let me ask you this question this morning. Are you a fan or are you a follower? A fan likes Jesus. A follower is devoted to Jesus. A fan attends church. A follower connects with the family of Jesus. A fan is entertained by Jesus. A follower is active for Jesus. We have been called to be followers of Jesus. Are you all in for Christ? Or are you just wearing a jersey? Let's pray. Father, I don't want to be just a fan. I want to be all in. Lord, I pray that not only would we be proud to wear the jersey of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, but that we would get our jerseys dirty because we're actively involved. Lord, help us to seek hard after you, be devoted to all that it means to find, to seek, to know, to grow deeper with you. And in the process, connect us to our family. Help us to love and encourage one another more. Lord, help it that we are this family all week long, not just Sunday. And that we are constantly involved in the mission of your church to reach out into our community and add more to the family. Lord, I pray that no one would be able to ever accuse us of being a simple fan of Jesus. But that would be clear. That we are followers of Jesus Christ. We ask this in your name. Amen.